And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. It's January 2026, and we want to begin by wishing all of our listeners a very blessed and happy new year in the Lord. And so great to be with you as we start the new year off, well, the second day of the new year, with a program dedicated to walking confidently in the call of God in our lives. My name is Pastor John Love, and joining me in the studio today, Pastor Gary Grenwald, will be your hosts.
Wow, I love how you said that.
Podcast.
You said that name better than I said it myself.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I got one thing right today. Pastor Gary, great to have you with us as we get things started here in the new year. And I think the subject is wonderful. We want to remind our listeners the chat is available. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this very important theme and subject, the call of God, and how to walk confidently in the call of God in our lives. And again, if you have any questions, pose those questions to us as well. We'll do the best that we can do here in our live studio to help to answer some of those questions. I love this subject, Pastor Gary, because it's a reality that has happened and taken place in our lives.
Yes.
The first thought that comes to my mind is that there was a time when we not only walked in darkness, but we were the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, I believe, says that you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. But what God did in Colossians 1:13 is that he called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That happened with us.
Beautiful.
On a personal level.
Right.
And it happens with every believer on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that call, the call to come out from among those in the world that have not heeded that call, and talk about those who have responded to that call. It's made all the difference in our lives. And the best part of it all is that God was calling us, and God is calling everyone.
Right.
But we listened.
Right.
We listened.
Yeah.
I mean, has anybody ever called you and you haven't listened?
Right.
I have.
Right.
We can all do that. But when God called, we listened. And that means everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think exactly what you're saying there. We listened. And the calling, kaleo, like in the Greek, that has to do with a name. And God is personal with us. And this is how God works with everyone so that man is without an excuse. It's like God personally intervenes in our life, and he gives us an opportunity to respond to his grace. And it's personal. And this is the God who identifies with us and knows exactly where we are. He knows our capacity, and he's calling us by name. Like he called Samuel.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And Samuel's learning how to respond to God calling his name. He doesn't know exactly what it's meaning at first. He needs help. You know, he needs some encouragement. And then he starts to respond to the voice of God. We also know Moses, right?
Yes.
Moses, maybe independent, you know, he's a shepherd. He's taking care of sheep. And then there's a burning bush, and God uses a burning bush. You know, it seems like miraculous, where something isn't being consumed. But this is how God gets our attention. I mean, we could go through all of the scenarios. If somebody says, I've never, you know, had a burning bush, it's like, maybe you've had five today already. Do you know what I mean? This is how personal God is in our life. This is how personal God wants to be with us in our lives.
Absolutely. And God will providentially arrange circumstances in our lives so that we would answer that call.
Yeah.
I think of my own conversion and when I came to Christ. Prior to coming to Christ and making that decision to believe on him and to accept him as my Savior, God allowed a lot of difficult circumstances to come into my life. And as I look back now, which is easy to do, I can realize and I believe wholeheartedly that God was allowing all of these things to happen. And some of them were not good things. Some of them were very bad things.
Yeah.
But God orchestrated all of those circumstances to bring me to a place that when he knew I was ready in my soul to respond to that call, that I would answer.
Wow, beautiful.
And I think that that's just amazing that God would go to such great lengths to reach us and to bring us to a place where we would listen.
So personal, right?
He's
working in your conscience. You're aware of your failure. You're not knowing how to escape sin. You're realizing there's some death there, maybe.
Yeah.
You're not living honestly before your parents. You know what I mean? Maybe you feel you're disappointing someone. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things. God is working in our conscience. So take my conversion. So the night that it happened, I don't remember the pre-salvation work, actually. I remember some Sunday school teachers, but I remember that night and how people came to our house. They were singers and they were going to sing in our church. And that's what they did. They went to people's houses. But I remember my mom's like honoring them as they came to our house and wanting us to meet them, and like how God was, I remember that special night. She made ham that night, you know, for these singers that came. I still remember that night. And then in church that night, I put up my hand to receive Christ, not because I thought I was bad, but I heard the message.
Yeah.
But that's how God worked in my life the day I got saved. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't remember the pre-salvation, the days before, mm-hmm. but I remember that day specific, or I remember the coming up to that situation. We were going to have these singers come to our house. You know what I mean? And they were going to be visiting all the different people in the church before they sang, had this big concert that night. And I remember it was a big event. And somehow God used the gravity of that situation in my life for me to raise my hand and know that Christ went into my life.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's the work of God, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And God can use anything and anybody to bring to pass that call that he has on our lives. And I just think of, you know, one of our brothers who has gone home to be with the Lord several years ago now, Pastor Bill Cannon, who was serving God in the foreign mission field in Haiti when – you know, the Lord took him. But, you know, to be honest and to be very candid with our listeners today, Bill Cannon was kind of an associate of mine, a friend of mine. He was a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be uncovering him by talking this way, because it really, his testimony is to the glory of God.
Much
but he was our drug. And then he experienced this miraculous conversion. Mm. This was a man we were buying illegal drugs from on the streets where we grew up. And now he's coming down to us, not selling drugs, but preaching the gospel, telling us about Christ, inviting us to a Bible study, telling us to turn on the Billy Graham crusade that evening on television. And of course, I'm startled. I'm overwhelmed. What happened to this man? How did he change?
Yeah.
And I mean, the change was so dramatic and it was so real and it was lasting. It wasn't something that just happened and a few weeks later it was over and done with. No, this was something that changed his heart, changed his mind, changed the way he lived his life. And God used that. I was attracted to that. So I would secretly get apart and alone and ask him questions, and he would give me answers and, of course, would always be looking for me and inviting me to the Bible study. But I just love the fact that God cared about my soul that much, that he would go to those kind of lengths to capture my attention. And then the call of God, the call to salvation. And I asked myself, I remember saying to myself at one point, why did God call me? And I think Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, he says that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The calling was to fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the calling personally in our lives and the call of God to our church and ministry and to fulfill the Great Commission worldwide, that's very general and that's for believers everywhere. But first and foremost, he called us unto the fellowship of his dear Son.
Right.
I mean, that's everything.
Right.
Because when it's all said and done and we're unable to do or accomplish any more service for God, for whatever reason, maybe health, maybe mentally we break down, who knows, we can still have fellowship with Jesus. And that's everything.
Amen.
Because when it's all said and done, what do we have but him?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you actually answered my question. I had a question as I was reading these verses in Exodus about God's calling and about the burning bush, Pastor Love. Like you could say, Pastor Cannon's life was like a burning bush, because what happened was the burning bush happened, and then Moses turned. God saw you turning, looking at Pastor Cannon. What in the world happened? And you have these questions. You're turning. And then what happens? Then God calls to Moses. He calls him Moses. And he makes it personal. So these burning bushes, you know, a friend got saved. And it's like, you know, other friends may not looked at Pastor, may not have turned. Your friends, some of them may not have turned. But God saw you turning, and he's saying, John Love, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's making it personal
yes.
to you. And there we go into this fellowship,
yes.
right? It's like, why did God breathe into us, you know, the breath of life? You know, why did God create us in his image so he can fellowship
yes.
with someone in his likeness? Why did he redeem us then after the fall? So he can fellowship with someone in his likeness. We are called to this. Why in First Peter chapter 1, why are we called to be ye holy as I am holy? He calls us to that place. He establishes us in that place so we can have fellowship with a holy God, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Fellowship.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you brought that out with Moses, because he looked at the bush that was burning and it wasn't consumed.
Yeah.
But that did not necessarily make God speak to him.
Yeah.
It's when he said, I will now turn aside and see why the bush is burning, but it's not consumed.
Yeah.
And then God spoke to him.
Yeah.
There is, beautiful. You know, I think that might be the best example in terms of how someone really comes to Christ. It's the drawing of God, without a doubt. Jesus said that. No man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Well, the Father's always seeking to draw people.
Right.
Right? And then he also said this, Jesus said, and he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So there's our responsibility. We have to listen to the call. We have to turn aside and say, I'm going to hear what God has to say, or I'm going to observe the bush that's burning but's not consumed.
Mm.
But that's only... It's just a move on our part. It's just a decision on our part.
Yeah.
It's just maybe I don't even say – we can say it's an act of faith.
Right.
It might even be just curiosity.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But once we hear that voice,
right,
there's no mistaking that it was God.
Mm. This is great. As we think of like, say, evangelism or – another way to think of evangelism is a heart for someone to get saved. You know, like I went to a Christmas party and I wanted to say something that might be salty, or that I wanted to put a burning bush, make a burning bush to give them the opportunity for God to turn for God to see them turn. You know, I gave some statements, and it's been my prayer is that those statements, one, are a seed, but God sees them turning to him. And, you know, it was just some statements about my life, but that it's like to give God an opportunity to create a bush in someone's life that's burning. And I think this is a heart for souls. We believe people are lost and we want God to call them. We want God to have an opportunity to call them to himself. Mm. And, you know, sometimes we've seen it happen right in front of us. Pastor Bill Cannon saw it happen right in front of him. And also these many people where God has used these seeds that we put out there that God is using. You know, we always say, God, you know, etch this in their heart. Let them not forget, you know, what they heard here today. But God would use that to personally call them by name. And they're personally responding to a personal God.
Yes.
They're not responding to a church. They're not responding to, you know, their imagination. They're responding to a holy God when they're you know, this is God's call to himself.
Yeah.
So.
And it's amazing. It's just, it kind of falls in my mind the same category as God choosing us.
Yeah.
Which I hope forever remains a mystery in our hearts. Because yes, God chose us.
Mm.
But of course, we exercised our volition at some point and said, yeah. Okay, God, I want to respond to that choice.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. I want to be chosen. I'm overwhelmed when I think about it, because if someone were to ask me, do you believe that God called you? Do you believe that God spoke to you? My answer would be absolutely.
Yes.
And of course today, for instance, and I responded to the call of God when I heard preaching, when I heard the proclamation of the gospel, when I heard doctrinal teaching, I heard the call of God. It's not the voice of the man, it's the voice behind the voice.
Right.
It's the voice of the Spirit.
Mm.
Now that's very difficult to try to explain to someone that's not regenerated, that's not born again. But we know what we're talking about.
Let's explain it. Let's talk about it. Okay. Let's talk about that.
It's the voice behind the voice.
Yeah.
It's just the Spirit of God. Now, how does the Spirit of God speak? Well, he clearly speaks through the Scriptures, right?
Yeah.
But he can also speak to us and share a message with us, from other believers.
Yeah.
Right? Through the fellowship of other believers. He delivers messages in the Bible by, you know, angelic beings.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But clearly, God has a way of getting his message to this world, because we know he loves this world and he doesn't want anybody in it to perish.
Right.
And he's done everything he could possibly do to save them by going to the cross and giving his own life as a sacrifice in our place. And that speaks to us. I know that I'm called. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm accepted in the beloved. I know that I've been perfected forever because of his sacrifice, nothing to do with me or my sacrifice. I know all of that and so much more because God has said that it's part of the calling, isn't it?
Sure. Sure. So, you know, what he's doing, what he's doing is building our character, our identity, so that we have confidence to fellowship with him. Okay. Not just to know our name, you know, my new name, you know, I am saved, but now he's calling us into this sanctification process. And like, how do you know these things? But, you know, you have heard the nature of God through the Word of God. You've heard the nature of God. It's who God is, so that you can trust him, so that you can have fellowship with him. And the nature of God is good. And it draws you away from your old way. You realize that since it's good, it's better than what I had. So you make a volitional choice and you choose it. And this is why we hear doctrine, actually. This is how we work out our salvation. This is what our calling is to. This is, you know, we're called to respond to God's gift. Mm-hmm. So we start to hear the nature of God. Me personally, after I was saved, I didn't know I was saved until I started to hear about the nature of God. I couldn't believe that I was actually saved forever. And I had to hear about the nature of God. It had to make sense in my mind. And God was drawing me to his thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. I'm being called to his thoughts about me. And that's how he thinks of me. And that me agreeing with that is what changed my mind. But I had to hear that. Mm-hmm. Like that's Philippians chapter 2, how we work out our salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's this fear of God that's like, he's, is this really true? And then we also have this sense of losing fellowship. Once we are saved, we have this feeling of losing our fellowship, and we have this conviction of the Holy Spirit now working inside of us, not losing my salvation, but right. losing my fellowship yeah. with God, because there's a sense of security in that. That's my new nature, mm-hmm. is fellowshipping with God. So I'm called to this fellowship with God. Mm. And this is why we have the body of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The body of Jesus Christ is where I hear voices. I hear the voices of God. It's the body of Christ is I experience and not geographically, but I experience my calling.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the voices of God, and God is speaking to me. He's speaking his character to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go out into the woods, and it may not be personal, but I have to make, you know, it has to be, God wants to reveal himself personally to us. It's not abstractly like I'm in the woods, you know, I see something great and big, but it's really something personal God is calling us to, this personal fellowship with him. Mm. So, I mean, this is what we're called to. And it's not general. It's very specific. Mm-hmm. Kaleo is speaking about a name, God's name that he calls you. You know, he's giving you a name. He's referencing you specifically in this. Mm. And nobody else. This is the personal God speaking yes. to you. Moses, you know, through the burning bush, John Love mm-hmm. with, you know, Pastor Cannon, mm-hmm. right? Bill mm-hmm. Cannon. So, yeah, this is how God still works today.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he does. As you mentioned about the body of Christ, and someone has said that the body of Christ or the church it's God with skin on.
Yeah.
Right? A good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the company, in the presence of other believers, and you're having fellowship. And by the way, you can be in the company of other believers, but not have fellowship.
Right.
But when you purpose to be in the midst of a group of people that on purpose edify, on purpose love one another, on purpose see who you are as God sees you, that makes all the difference.
Okay. Yes.
You're creating a platform for fellowship, which is so vital and so important. But that's the presence of God. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst.
Right.
And it's just, you're with God through his body.
Right.
But that call that you just mentioned, what does it involve? It involves a new identity.
Yes.
A new identity. A new way of thinking, because now our thinking has been transformed because our minds are in the process of being renewed in Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a new direction in life, right? We got
Absolutely.
Turned around.
Yes.
It all started with, I once was not believing, but now I'm believing, and that gives me a whole new direction in life, a whole new vision in life.
Yes.
A whole new purpose for my life.
Yes.
And a real understanding of what God wants from my life now that I have listened to his call to come unto Christ for that fellowship. And then the call can become very, very specific. You know, what are, then you start to say, okay, if God has called me, has he equipped me? Has he given me gifts, talents, abilities? And what are they for? How can I best use them to edify other believers, to encourage other believers for the building up of his people?
I was thinking as you're talking about that, well, the body has skin. It's God having skin on it. The word sanctify is a big deal, because what they did in the Old Testament, they took common utensils and they sprinkled blood on them and oil to cleanse them and then to anoint them. And this is what we do with situations in our life. Just for instance, the body of Christ. There are people in the body of Christ. I like to, like, put blood on people, you know, and figuratively, you know, and anoint. I want to sanctify them. Mm. I want to sanctify people, you know, with my thoughts. And it's like, why go the other way? Why make something that's sanctified by God and make it common? Okay. It's wrong to do that. And this is where we make something common. Like you could say Peter, right? With the, you know, this vision, this blanket coming up and down. It's like, don't call something common that God has called holy or that God has sanctified. And this is a way that we have fellowship with believers, actually, and it doesn't isolate us. And also we start to see opportunities in our, and this is not this trip, this visitation, this meal, this time with my wife at the breakfast table. It's not common. It's holy. And we start to sanctify things in our life. And this, it produces fellowship with God in that time because it's holy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's take off your shoes. You know, you're on holy ground. I'm calling you to holy ground. And we start to sanctify moments in our life. And then it becomes fellowship.
Yes.
Okay. And then we're back to where we started. God's calling us to these times. So don't call this, you know, common right now. Sanctify it in your mind and then watch this interaction with God in your life. And it's like, maybe we call it the fear of God. It's the place where we get wisdom from God. It's where we get the mind of God specifically for that. But it's not common. I've made my mind up. This is going to be holy. And this is, be careful how you hear this word, this pulpit, this time of reading my Bible. It is holy. And it's the word of God and it's going into my life. If somebody else doesn't sanctify it, there's a different result. So fellowship is based upon what we sanctify in our lives, what we allow to be sanctified by God. And then, you know, it's sanctified. And then this personal God comes out of it in those situations.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's an uncommon life that we've been called to live.
Right.
I mean, we left a common life. And then we stepped into an uncommon life because God's in it now.
Right.
And now we can live trusting him with our whole hearts, whereas once we just trusted ourselves, right? I mean, isn't that the essence of faith? It's just depending upon God, whereas once we didn't depend upon God, but now we depend completely upon God. And we're learning how to depend more and more on him with each day of our lives.
Yeah.
But it leads to such an uncommon life. It leads to a life, well, the kind of life that Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 10. I give unto them life, and I want them to have that life, but life more abundantly. Yeah. It's an abundant life. It's a rich life. It's a full life. It's a life filled with adventure. It's a life that's faith-filled. You know, when we gave our lives to Christ, did we have any idea where the call of God would lead us? We didn't.
We didn't.
Right. Chances are we both gave our lives to Christ in a particular part of the country geographically, but we're not there anymore.
No.
Because of the call of God.
Right, right.
And then that call becomes very personal in each one's life, because God will lead you to go to this local assembly or that local assembly to become a part of this mission enterprise or that mission enterprise. And I mean, just so many wonderful opportunities present themselves to us when we embrace that uncommon life.
I love that phrase, uncommon life. You made me think of this verse. I got to read it because it makes me think of it. Just before I read it, we actually offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So I want to just read this in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. Here's this uncommon life that has happened in our calling. Here's this activity that we actually have, you know, geographically or whatever. What happens? We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Mm. Where am I going to go? My body, you know, I make decisions. I swear to my own hurt. Mm. I make sacrifices with my life, and I choose something else. It's like these unsearchable riches of God. I see that it's going to make me rich, or I see that it's going to bring a blessing on my life, or that it's good for me. You know, I hear God calling me to it. I don't know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I just know that it's good. Yep. I don't know, but it's the place where God brings a blessing in our life. So as we read this, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here it is. This is how we look at this. Holy. Only by hearing the word of God could you know. Here's a holy sacrifice to you, God. You did it. It's you working in my life. All I'm doing is listening to you say my name. You're saying it's so personal. It's not I'm going to the mission field and then, you know, I'm going to find God. No, it's a calling of God. I'm responding to your name. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There it is. Here's this spiritual, this genuine life of a believer. And it says this, be not conformed to this world. So that's the grace of God. He's calling me away from this. You know, he's showing me how to do this, how to offer myself as a living sacrifice for something else. And then what happens? So I'm not conformed to this world. I'm offering my life. I realize it's reasonable. It's a genuine sacrifice to God. And what the result is, I'm not conformed to this world's way of thinking. I have an uncommon life.
Yeah.
Okay. But be transformed continually by the renewing of your mind, listening to God's voice. Talk to you. It's not, you know, I did a mental exercise today. No, hearing is listening to God's voice. Mm-hmm. Our mind is being renewed by listening to God's voice, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I mean, this is what we're called to, and God did that work. You know what I mean? This is what by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, not by your own will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
that's so anyway, I just, the uncommon life, right?
Yeah, it is an uncommon life. And here's a good question that we could ask as we move toward the end of our podcast today. Do you believe that God can speak loud enough so that a willing soul can hear him?
Mm. It's God's voice.
Yeah.
Is God's voice speaking, and it's God knowing our capacity.
Yeah.
And it's God's ability to draw men.
Yeah.
And it's a sovereign God.
Yeah.
And it's a God with a purpose and a desire that none should perish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we believe that to the point where we even say a man is without an excuse before God.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly, that God can, through the Spirit, speak to our hearts loud enough so that a willing soul can hear. I mean, there has to be a willingness to hear what God has to say. Mm. Because sometimes God can speak, but people aren't, they don't want to listen.
Yeah.
I mean, we could say to the world, God is calling.
Yeah.
But we would also ask the question, are you listening?
Mm. Mm.
Because some people, you know, we've heard the expression, you can talk to them until they're blue in the face, but they're not going to hear a word you say.
Yeah.
That could be the nature of some people's hearts, that God is speaking. I read a story, and my understanding is this is a true story, that a man showed up at the airport late for a flight. Actually, I'm not even sure he was late. He got to the counter at the airport to board his flight, and as he approached the counter, he said, and these are his words, he said, you know, God spoke to him and said, I don't want you to get on this flight.
Mm.
And he said, he believed wholeheartedly that it was God speaking. So he decided not to.
Mm.
That flight went down and everyone on board perished. Now, when they went to the, you know, the list, what did they, the manifest.
Yeah.
They went to the manifest and realized that he did not board that flight. There was one name in that flight that did not board. They sought him out and they said, why didn't you get on that flight? And he said, because God told me not to. And of course the response was, well, didn't God speak to everyone else that boarded that flight?
Mm.
He said, I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe he did. All I know is that God spoke and I listened.
Mm.
I just bring that up as an illustration that God can be speaking. The real question is, are we listening? And are we willing and committed to do what God speaks even before he tells us what it is that he asks us to do?
Yeah.
In other words, do we have in our hearts this framework?
Mm.
Not my will, but thy will be done.
Oh, beautiful.
If we have that, if that's present in our hearts, God can say anything and we'll hear it. And then, you know, we'll listen to what he says.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
We have to, you know, faith comes how?
Hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearing.
Yeah.
And you can't hear someone unless they speak. And I don't think it's any different with God.
Yeah. I wonder why it says in Hebrews 3 and 4 about hardening not your heart. Like today
is today. You will hear his voice.
Yeah, today.
His voice?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, and then as the believer, we have this desire, you know, we say not to have blind spots, right? Yeah. That we would not have blind spots where we wouldn't hear, where we wouldn't see, we're not available to God in an area of our life, right? Mm-hmm. A blind spot. Mm-hmm. That's the sanctification process is, you know, in the beginning you turn, but then we don't want blind spots, right?
Right.
In our lives. And mm-hmm. today's the day of salvation. And this, I think of that often, actually, that not that I've heard that story, but mm-hmm. I think of that when I get on a plane. You know, I do too.
Do
you really?
Yes.
I have to get on a plane tomorrow. And I'm thinking, I was thinking before, should I cancel my ticket? But I, you know what I mean? But no,
I know. And I hope that nobody listening says, oh, all right, I'm going to question. I'm going to ask God about every flight. I mean, I'm planning to go on a flight overseas this month as well, but you know.
Well, my son's going to be on the flight. I'm going to leave him on the flight and you know what I mean?
No,
I'm not going to do anything like that. So
I know. But hey, I suppose if God, I mean, we all have a day where God is going to call us home.
Yeah.
So we don't have to wrestle with God about those things.
No.
But as we reach the end of the podcast today, Pastor Gary, what are some of the things, I mean, just practically speaking, I'm going to name a few of them and then pass it on to you. I mean, I'm called to share the gospel with people.
Mm.
I'm called to reveal who Christ is to people. I'm taught by God and called by God to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving, even as Christ has forgiven me. I'm called to have compassion for people that are hurting.
Yeah.
I'm called to lay down my life for the brethren.
Mm.
I'm called to do good to all men, especially those in the household of God, right, in Galatians 6:10. I'm called to do these things. I'm not doing these things because I'm hoping to accrue some merit or favor from God if I do them.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven.
No.
None of us are that know Christ and have been saved by his grace. It's just we're called to this life.
Amen.
And I mean, you know, I know you have some things on your heart that you could say, hey, this is what I'm called to.
Yeah, I guess as you were saying that, I was thinking I'm called to be a member in particular in the body of Jesus Christ. I'm called to that. I'm called to love my enemies.
Yes.
Right? To think right about my enemies.
Yes.
I'm called to love my wife. I'm called to, I want to sanctify my days. You know, I want to be an encourager. You know, I want to be a helper of people's joy. Mm. You know what I mean?
I want to
be a peacemaker. In Matthew chapter 5, and for theirs is the kingdom of God.
Mm.
Like these are things that we're called to. The thing I desire is to finish my course with joy.
Yeah.
Right?
I
want to finish my course with joy.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And as we close the podcast today, every believer who knows and senses that they have this call upon their lives. Think about what we read in Hebrews 10:35. Don't cast away that confidence.
Mm.
Confidently walk in the call of God. I mean, when I made a decision after becoming a believer years later to go to Bible college, I knew God called me to go to Bible college. Now, someone could say, oh, that's wonderful. That's amazing. That sounds so mystical. No. I knew I was called because I didn't know the Bible.
Yeah.
What better place to learn the Bible than a Bible college, I thought to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once I made that decision, I knew it was the right decision.
Mm.
And so much opposition came against me to move forward. Everything. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Yeah.
We don't have time enough to talk about all of the things that happened.
Right.
But I just kept pressing on by faith, confidently knowing this is the call of God in my life.
Beautiful.
And every believer listening to the sound of our voices today should also walk with that kind of confidence in their call.
Amen. Amen.
It's the only way to live, isn't it?
It is. It is. You nailed it.
Well, Pastor Gary, thanks so much for joining us.
This was great, short notice.
And I should say to our listeners, and I should have said this at the outset of the broadcast, that we taped this broadcast and we cannot receive your comments and you cannot ask us your questions today.
Okay.
We apologize for that because this is a taped podcast today for Friday, January 2nd. But I want to thank you for joining us at the last moment.
Hey, I enjoyed being with you.
It was great. I think we covered this subject, not in any exhaustive way, but I think it was a blessing to our listeners.
Amen. It was a blessing for me.
Amen. And me too. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. And we hope that your new year starts off the right way. Just again, just keep saturating your soul with the Word of God, the promises of God. Don't make any, you know, commitments to God that you know deep in your heart you can't keep. Let God make all the commitments. Let him keep all the promises, and you won't regret that. Until next week, may God bless you.